Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Bulky Beauty Podcast. And today I am going to be going over the Atletico nil Chelsea 1 match in the Champions League, last 16, first leg. Now, as a whole, the match was very, very exciting for me. I was sat at home waiting for kickoff to just roll round. I had the Leeds versus Southampton match on beforehand because I was in the Premier League, and leading up to the Chelsea Atletico match, I felt my nerves starting to really build. And then the lineup came out, and it was all but one that I thought, which I'll get to in a minute. When the lineup came out, I was confident we could get a result. However, I didn't believe we would get the win, even though we did. So, that being said, the lineup itself was Mendy in goal, Azpilicueta, Christensen and Rudiger as our back three. Hudson-Odoi, right wing back. Alonso, left wing back. In my lineup prediction, I said Chilwell, left wing back. And then Jorginho and Kovacic as the two central midfielders. Then we had Mason Mount and Werner and Giroud in either a 2-1 or a 1-2. I don't know if it was Mount in the 10 and Werner next to Giroud, or Werner and Mount next to each other behind Giroud. So it was one of the two, but we had those three as our forward players. And we had a very, very shaky start. Within 40 seconds, Mount got booked, which is actually a dodgy thing because that means he's suspended for the next leg. And also a couple minutes in, like, Mendy had a heavy touch and nearly gifted Suarez a goal, but the tackle that came in sort of sent the ball away from the goal, if that makes sense. So nothing actually came of it. But once we started building into the game, we looked comfortable, I'd say. There's a couple of moments here or there where Atletico, you thought maybe they'd do something, but ultimately they didn't. So going over the, I'll go over the subs first. So we had Ziyech and Kante come on in the 74th minute for Mount and Kovacic. We had James come on in the 80th minute for Hudson-Odoi. And we had Havertz and Pulisic come on in the 87th minute for Werner and Giroud. So if I was to give any form of player rating right now, I wouldn't be able to give anyone less than an 8. Everyone was on it. Everyone was brilliant, in my opinion. The fact that Alonso, who I was very critical of, came in and had a good performance. The fact that Hudson-Odoi, after being subbed, after the whole substitution thing against Southampton, came in and put in a brilliant performance. The fact that Giroud, who has hardly had a minute under Tuchel, came in, had a brilliant performance, scored the winning goal, which I'll get to. Werner, Mount, they just never give up. They're constantly on it. And the one I was very surprised with, actually, was Christensen. I've, again, I've been very critical of him. He's normally quite weak, very fragile, and prone to making mistakes, but didn't see a single one. I thought we were really going to struggle without Thiago Silva yesterday, and we didn't. And that's a testament to the players. That's a testament to Tuchel. Everything was on point yesterday. And when all said and done, we now take a 1-0 advantage to the home leg. And it's an away goal. So Atletico have to score now, at the very least. I mean, it's brilliant. A 0-0 would have been a bad result for us. A 1-0 for us is a great result, because now, as I said, Atletico have to come at us. So, I mean, well, just looking at the stats, I mean, we had 63% of the ball. We had 11 shots on target. I think they had 4, maybe 5. We had 5 on target. They had 0 on target. None. Like, we shut Lamar, Suarez, and Felix out, and they didn't even get a shot on target. Like, that in itself shows how good defensively we were yesterday. We were pressing the ball high up the pitch. We were getting back in numbers to stop their counter-attacks. It was just an all-round brilliant performance. And I think, again, I refer back to the Southampton substitution thing. I think we've given this performance and this result, it's looking like it was genius from Tuchel to do what he did. And it's by far the biggest, they were by far the biggest test we've had under him, which then makes it by far the best result we have had under Tuchel. He's had wins, yes, hasn't lost, but a 1-0 against Atletico, who are currently leading La Liga, which, say what you want about Barcelona, Real Madrid, with how they've been. Real Madrid are defending champions, and Barcelona, despite their problems, still have Messi. Like, and the fact that Atletico Madrid are top of that table, I think they give something different to La Liga. I think it's, they shock the system in a way, because you see it in, like, whenever I've watched La Liga, mainly the Clásico, but other games here and there. A lot of the Spanish sides like the intricate passing, and, like, you don't really see many teams sit back with a brick wall in front of you and then, like, smash them on the counter. Well, that's what Atletico do from every match I've seen them. I'm not an expert on them by all means, but every match I've seen them, that's what they do under Simeone. And yesterday was no different. At one point, their formation was a 7-2-1. They had a back seven, and then they had Lamar and Felix behind Suarez, literally just waiting to try and counter us. And a couple of times, a couple of passes got played over, but we quickly shut it out and shut it down, like, almost immediately. It was, again, as I said, it was brilliant defending, and it was well spotted by Tuchel that that's what they would do. I mean, Suarez, despite what we may think of him with the whole biting issue and whatnot, it's still one of those where he's a very lethal very clinical striker. And if you give him time and space, or if you allow him to have free chances at your goal, he will score. There's absolutely zero doubt about it whatsoever. He will score. I did see Summit. I was watching a watch along on YouTube as well as the match, and I think, I can't remember who commented, but it was on Eunice's live stream, and someone did a super chat and said that someone like Suarez needs to bite Werner to turn on beast mode or something like that. And that was, I thought that in itself was hilarious. The fact that the busted lip against, who was it? Was it Newcastle? Yeah. The busted lip against Newcastle. He gets a goal and an assist. So have Suarez bite him and he'll just turn into God mode. But with them sitting back, it then allowed us to have our creative players like Mount, Werner, even Jorginho to an extent, and Hudson-Odoi, Alonso, to get on the ball and to break them down. And we did that. And once we got the goal, again, I'll come to the goal in itself in a minute. Once we got the goal, they then realised, oh shit, being 1-0 down, this is a bad result. So they had to come at us. And after that, we started getting a couple more chances. We didn't extend our lead. I mean, it'd have been brilliant to extend the lead to 2-0. But yeah, I mean, the performance as a whole was faultless. And so I'm going to get onto the goal now. I think it was about the 50th minute or so. Atletico had a counter, and cross comes in, I think it was. I might be remembering this wrong, but the bit I do remember as clear as day is João Félix attempted an overhead kick. And he may as well have played rugby with that kick. Like, it went so far over the bar, it was unreal. So about 15, 20 minutes carries on, and it was the 68th minute. We have a bit of play on the left-hand side, and it comes across. It flicks up off an Atletico player, and you got Mount and Hermoso on the edge of the box. And Giroud is in the penalty area. So it then flicks up again into the box, in the air, right where Giroud is. And he's back against goal. So rather than trap it, turn and shoot, he does an overhead kick. As you do, does an overhead kick, puts it in the bottom corner. Oblak, absolutely no chance. It was a fantastic goal, right? Absolutely fantastic goal. I go absolutely bonkers. I'm cheering, like, yes, come on, blah, blah, blah. Then the ref blows his whistle and he's pointing for a free kick. I'm like, no fucking way. You then see the replay at full speed. And he's like 3 yards offside. So I'm like, oh no. And then they showed a slow motion replay again. And from one angle, it looks like Mount hit it onto the defender. And then Giroud's done the bicycle kick. So that was when it clicked in my head, like, oh my God, VAR, please, come on. Come on. And then VAR reviewed it. It took them 3 minutes to review, and they gave the goal. And then they showed one angle in particular where, and in very slow motion, Mount didn't touch that ball. It was Hermoso that played it up into the air and Giroud buried it. So, perfectly good goal. Because I think if Mount had have touched it onto Hermoso, I don't think the deflection counteracts the offside. Whereas, because Hermoso was the one who played the ball and Mount didn't touch it, goal given. But listening to his interview afterwards, he said he didn't have a clue where the offside line was. He didn't have a clue who even played him the ball. He just see it, and he like, his quote was, "I like overhead kicks, so I tried doing one." And it's the fact that he had the balls to even try it. I mean, it's fantastic. And I've said it before. Maybe is Giroud causing the team other problems, but that was under Frank Lampard. But every time Giroud has come in this season, apart from one game, I think, he has been sublime. He scored 6 goals for us in the Champions League so far. 4 in one night, to be fair. And the fact that he doesn't play that much, and the fact that he is so professional that he just gets on with it, and then when he does play, like, so professional, sorry, that he doesn't kick up a fuss. He isn't in the dressing room causing problems and backstabbing the managers and whatnot. He's always there supporting his teammates who are playing. And then when he does play, he's Mr. Reliable. He really is. Like, you can always rely on him to set up or score a goal. Always. And it's why he's so close to breaking a record now of most sub goals in the Premier League. I mean, you have Jermaine Defoe on 24. You got Giroud now on 22, I think, after the Newcastle game. So I think by the end of the season, that record's his. The way he's playing. And I mean, something came out today about Tammy not being happy and the fact, and might not extend his contract. I mean, it'd be a shame, but if we lose Tammy and Giroud, because I think Giroud's gone at the end of the season, I really do. I don't think he'll be up for another season of sitting on the bench predominantly. I mean, he's coming to the back end of his career, and I think his ambition will be to make the World Cup squad for France for 2022. It's weird, I know, because we got the Euros this summer and then we got the World Cup next winter. Not this year's winter, next year's one. I think he's going to want to make that squad. I really do. And I don't think being at Chelsea and being on the bench for so long will do him any favours in that. Especially if we're going for Haaland, which is what's to be believed, which is all the rumours and everywhere, the fact that we're going for Haaland. So I think that's also another reason why Tammy is so pissed off right now. But my whole sentiment with that is, as good as Tammy has been, because he has been good, at the end of the day, when you come on, you have to perform. And when you don't perform, you're going to get subbed. Like, it's not hard to comprehend. If you're playing shit, you're coming off, or you're not starting. It's as simple as that. And the fact that, all right, yeah, he scored a hat-trick against Luton. He has scored a couple of big vital goals for us. He is currently our top scorer this season. But it's not as if he hasn't had chances. And against Southampton, for the first half he was on, he was dog shit. Like, you need to step up. But with Tammy, is he going to be happy be at 23, 24 years old being a bench player? I don't think he will be. And I think he is too good to be a bench player. So I think, is he going to not extend and then either we sell him this season before he goes into his final year? I don't know. I mean, we'll have to wait and see. I mean, it's all up in the air, but going back to Giroud, he's the perfect player to have around the squad. He's got the French connection with all the French speaking players. He's also Mr. Reliable, as I said. He's seems to be so charismatic and integrated with everyone. And then just listen to how many big name players he has played with. Say they they love playing alongside Giroud. Griezmann, Mbappe, Hazard. I think Sanchez said it when he was in his prime at Arsenal. They're massive players. Let's not get it twisted. They are big name players. So, at the end of the day, he is phenomenal. There's no other word to describe him. And when he has left Chelsea eventually, he'll be very remembered as a cult hero type figure. Like, not in the legend bracket, because that is a very hard bracket to get into. I think we've got a handful of legends, like Osgood, Benetti, then you got John Terry, Lampard, Cech, Drogba, Hazard. That's seven. I think Aspi will be a legend as well. So it's eight. Other than that, like, for example, Gary Cahill was a cult hero. Fabregas was a cult hero. I think Drew is going to be in that sort of bracket. A great player for us, but not quite a legend. And he's going to be loved no matter what he does, no matter where he goes. The only thing that I think would ruin that, I think, would be if he went to Tottenham. But the fact that he's played for Arsenal and Chelsea, I really don't think he'll go to Tottenham. I really don't think that. They might try and come and get him, but I doubt it'll happen. And while I'm on the subject of Arsenal, like mentioning them, thank you. Like, we continuously mug you off. It's fucking brilliant. We get Ashley Cole off of you, and we give you a broken William Gallas. We get players like Giroud off of you, and we give you an aged Petr Cech, a brain-dead David Luiz, and a Willian who just looks, he looks shite. He even worse than he was at Chelsea. I mean, I would have hated doing this podcast last year after seeing another William stinking performance and having to sit here and be like, William again had a shit game. Alonso again had a shit game. Like, it would have done my head in. And I mean, I thank him for his service, but the fact, well, I don't even want to get into William because I've got a lot of stuff that I would point blank say, and it's just not on the subject, basically. But yeah, I mean, we give them our shit and they give us 10 brilliant players. It's repeatedly funny. Like, for example, if we were to go and raid them now, we'd probably take Partey, Aubameyang, maybe Tierney, and we'd give him Alonso. Like, it would be jokes. It would be funny as fuck. But I mean, at the end of the day, we got Giroud off them, 18 million. Probably our best signing under Conte, behind Kante. So Kante is our best signing from Conte, and then Giroud, our second best signing from Conte. And yeah, I mean, the fact that he scored the winning goal against Atletico Madrid in the Champions League, it's our first win away from home in a knockout round since 2012. Since we won it. The last win we had in the Champions League knockout stages away from home was the final in 2012. Because in 2013, we made it to the semis, but we drew or lost the away legs, and then we reversed the scores at home. And we haven't made it past the last 16 since. And so that itself blows my mind. I mean, it's actually quite worrying just how far we fell off since winning it. Like how far we didn't go. Because we've had absolutely banging players since then. Like, the fact that we couldn't, like, get through when we had Hazard, Costa, Fabregas, but we got to the semi-finals when we had, like, granted Hazard, but Eto'o and Torres up front, and Demba Ba. And who else do we have in midfield? Like, I think we had Victor Moses that season as well. We might have been on loan, I don't know. But my point is, we've had better players and we haven't gone as far because we have always had a shit last 16 draw, no matter who we play. The last time we had a decent last 16 draw was 2012. We played Napoli. And even then, they pushed us because we lost the first leg 3-1. The year we went into the 13-14, we were in the semi-finals. We had PSG. We overturned a 3-1. We won 2-0 at home to go through. We've then had PSG again. Barcelona twice, I think. Bayern Munich. So we continuously get all these shit teams. Or not shit teams, but shit opponents to face. Like, and guarantee you, we'll go through. Or if we go through, we will get PSG or Bayern Munich. I'm guaranteeing that right now. we will get PSG or Bayern Munich in the next round of the Champions League. And if I'm calling it now and it actually happens, then Summit... Well, put it this way, Simon Jordan was on TalkSport earlier. It might have been yesterday. No, it was earlier, because it was after the match. He turned around and said that when Tuchel gets his, quote, coincidental draw against PSG, against his old team, like, I thought it was fucking hilarious, because it's always the case. We always play PSG, Barcelona, Bayern Munich, normally, on the way to whatever year it is. We always play one of those three, guaranteed. And hopefully we get through. We're in prime position to beat Atletico in this tie, but my God, can you imagine we win the damn tournament? Can you imagine we win it? If we win it 9 years after the first one, if we win it, I'll dye my hair blue. If Chelsea win the Champions League, I will dye my hair blue. So there you go. Oh, I've made that bet. I've said it publicly. No, I don't know how many people will hear this, but I've said it publicly. If Chelsea win the Champions League, I will dye my hair blue. But anyway, that is where I am going to wrap it. I will be doing a preview for the Man United match. So please make sure you catch that. If you did enjoy it, please give me a share. Give me a review on Apple Podcasts. Any constructive criticism you can give me to make this better would be very much appreciated. Follow me on Twitter at CookCO4. That's CookCO4. And until the next one, guys, I hope you'll stay safe. And just remember, blue is the colour and football is the game. Good. Bye.